Hey, 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 welcome to the Sports Reverence Podcast. My name is Dan. I'm joined with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh,
wow.
You know, Coach used to wear goggles when he played basketball originally. He had the goggles. It was actually a strap that connected the ends of his glasses around.
It worked.
No, it didn't. Worked. Every game that I watch, there's glasses going flying. Coach, why don't you tell us how your week's going?
Week has been good. It's, lots of March Madness over the weekend, which was great. Caught up on a lot of TV shows and found out brother-in-law is finally flying in next week. So we're going to celebrate Easter with him and then get him all sorted out. So week's been great. How about yourself?
Yeah, week's been going pretty busy, gearing up for this Easter weekend. We're going to have a lot of fun at the church and doing a big Easter egg community hunt and Good Friday service, Sunday morning Easter service. So hopefully maybe even taking everyone to Malaysian food for Easter dinner, maybe.
So there's also a 76ers game.
Ooh, that'd be fun too.
Interesting.
Raptors tickets are real cheap right now. Let me tell you, I looked yesterday.
All I'm saying.
Played Brooklyn. Lower bowl was going for $60 Canadian. So we're that bad. The Raptors are that bad. You can see the hats above me. You know that I love them. They suck.
They're there.
They're going to be bad for a while.
But that's okay. It makes it easy to go to games.
Coach, why don't you just... Okay. That's a good way to look at it, I guess. It is fun still going, but I hate losing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we're talking about during this show, and then we'll dive into it.
Absolutely. We got a great topic here. In theme with the Easter season, we have our quick hitters we're going to run through. And we're going to look at sacrifice and patience, both in your faith journey and the sports world, and how the two kind of parallel each other. Although one isn't sacrificing for your soul, but that's okay. We'll figure that part out. But lots to talk about, lots of parallels to draw. And this time of year, lots of sacrifice and patience is needed. For the Raps, you got to be patient. You got to sacrifice to win those loose balls of March Madness. So lots to talk about. Why don't you guys just roll in here with the quick hitters.
Quick hitter news. We got the NFL owners have approved a revamp of the kickoff in attempt to minimize high-speed collisions. They also took away the hip tackle rule. Pretty wild. Lots of changes.
Pretty wild. We'll see how that goes the whole year. Shohei Ohtani and former interpreter, Ippi Mizuhara, are under investigation for illegal sports betting. We'll see how this rolls out.
On the same note, Toronto Raptors, Jonte Porter, two-way player, a G League player, is under investigation by the NBA for betting on games in which he played over the past several months.
Caitlin Clark closes her home career with a win as Iowa narrowly defeats West Virginia in the second round of the NCAA Women's Tourney.
NC State is the lowest seed left in the men's NCAA tournament. Duke, UNC, still alive. That means none of us are sniffing smelling salt this episode. But maybe next one.
I really don't want to do this.
It's going to be tough. I looked up some videos on some people's reactions of them doing it, and they were tougher than us. Ooh. So we're going to struggle. Well, you're going to struggle because, you know.
No. Got this. Duke's going to win today. UNC's going to lose. It's going to be fine.
Duke had a much, much easier second game than UNC. UNC played a tough Michigan State team.
Michigan State's a well-coached team. Tom Izzo.
But the Duke was playing.
James Madison. All right. They blew him out. They needed him.
Let's handle some business with some of our commercials. Urban Hope is near and dear to my heart. It's the mentorship program we get to run in downtown Toronto. We are basically providing a safe place for kids and youth in a marginalized neighborhood, and we teach mentorship skills, allow them to put their mentorship skills to practice, and basically it's all rooted in what the Bible teaches us. So we teach them to be to grow up to be men and women of God, and that's the plan. And one of the things we like to participate in and help students grow in is using sports to help them develop these skills. And that's kind of the heartbeat of our podcast. Sports and faith have always been the root of our podcast and how we wanted to develop our own life lessons and skills. And now we want to pass it along to the next generation as well. And we are in the process of starting this basketball program to help these students have opportunities that they wouldn't necessarily have if they weren't a part of this program. Because a lot of these opportunities to play basketball, they cost a lot of money. And we want to provide these opportunities for these students to have a chance to develop, grow, and be great on and off the court. So if you're able to support in any kind of way, please consider doing so at www.thesportsreverends.com/sponsorships. Thanks very much.
Great. Let's get into the preamble here. We talked a little bit about it to open the show. Obviously, Easter weekend's coming up, and that's a really big, big Christian milestone. You got Christmas and Easter, and the endless debate about which one is more important, but regardless, it's an important part of the Christian calendar, and it elicits a lot of thoughtfulness, I would say, as we remember on Good Friday what Jesus did on the cross on dying for our sins, but then celebrating on Easter Sunday about him rising from the dead and giving us a path of salvation. And similarly, in sports, and you know this and I know this, you sacrifice a lot. You sacrifice your body, you sacrifice your health, you sacrifice time, all in the attempt to go the distance and get that W, and at the end of the day, lift up a trophy. So this is the time of year. It's kind of perfect because March Madness, we're seeing all, 64, I guess 68 teams who were working and sacrificing all year, taking the patience that they needed to practice and do all the right things to hopefully win the NCAA trophy at the end of the year. Let's just talk about sports and sacrifice first before we transition that into how that implies your faith life. Do you have a personal story, Daniel, about sacrificing for the quote unquote greater good or for the win or for anything like that in your sports life?
In my personal sports life, yeah, probably. I think the natural tendency for me was never to be the go-to person, always to be like a supplemental player, like a Scottie Pippen or even the third option or things like that. It was never my natural tendency to take over and be number one. That was where I probably sacrificed a lot, where I would support and build up the guy that needed to be number one. And yeah. So it's more of a general answer than a specific moment, I would say, because the way I think the way our mindset is that the way we play is we sacrifice it all, right? We put it on the floor. We're diving for loose balls. We'll take the toughest guy on defense and all those kinds of things.
Man, Reverend Chandran, so humble on today's podcast. Gave him a chance to give himself flowers, and he took the high road. He took the high road, which is great. playoffs come around the corner for the NBA and NHL seasons. And we talked about roles before, and then we talked about it offline here. You're starting to see teams tighten rotations. You're starting to see teams sacrifice, in terms of stats and things like that. But you're also starting to see potentially teams sacrificing wins now for future draft picks and to build contenders for the future. Let's think about that. What do you think with, how teams are, like the NBA playoffs, that bench is shortening, right? Minutes are getting tougher to come by. And it feels, from the games that I've been watching, some coaches, particularly those in the hot seat, have been quicker to pull guys than let things ride out.
Let me back this up to March Madness. I think it ties into what the NBA, the minutes, all the minutes that you're talking about here. The March Madness, what I love to see about March Madness is you take a team like Kentucky. They got NBA prospects on them, right? We're talking about the men's basketball. I haven't watched a moment of the women's basketball. Actually, only when they flipped to it when there was no other games on. And I maybe I am in the minority here, and many people are tuning into these games, but I am just being honest. I haven't watched a minute of the women's game. Anyways, Kentucky, they have NBA level talent. They got probably two players that are going to go top 10 in the draft, all that kind of stuff. First round, they play Colorado, I believe it was, and they got some future accountant, future plumber, who is lighting them up. Absolutely dropping three-pointers like crazy. And what you see is, you see a team that has veterans and players that are willing to sacrifice for their system, play a team game, compared to Kentucky, who's got all these individuals that are trying to win a game. And you see, when you sacrifice your ego, sacrifice your stats, sacrifice all those things, you're going to have a better successful team, a more successful team than one that has better talent than you. And that's what I love to see in March Madness. You see future accountants beating future NBA stars. And so going into the minutes thing of the NBA, if you see teams that are, this is more the East than the West for me. The East, most of the teams that are going to make the playoffs, including the play-in, they know that they're at least going to make it. So it's a little different when they sit players. You know, it's usually because of injury. But when you see it in the West, you know, they're supposed to be ramping up for the playoffs, but then you see a team like Golden State where they sit Curry for 12 minutes in the second half to save his minutes, right? And they go on to lose a game, which they probably should have won. They're in the 10th. They're half game up on Houston Rockets right now. And so I don't know. Like, I don't know what these teams are doing. You see the top teams that are playing their guys, like the Nuggets and the Wolves and the Thunder.
Yep.
They're the top. But then all the teams that should have, that have bigger names, bigger payrolls, they are 9th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th is Dallas. Can't remember number 8. No, Dallas, Phoenix, Lakers, Warriors. And then the Rockets are a half game back from that. Like, that's insane to me. That's insane to me. It's and it's all these minutes, like LeBron's sitting out tonight versus the Bucks.
Against the Bucks.
Why is that happening? Why is that, like to me, just,
he needs the win.
So these,
he needs
so
the
basically
win. He should
what,
be fine.
Exactly. So what you see are teams that are successful, sacrificing themselves, or it's really preparing yourselves, right? The more work you're putting into is supposed to prepare you for the championship run. Taking these minutes off are not preparing you in a way that should. I'll pass it back to you.
Yeah, I think it's a great example. Like, there's such a difference between college and professional that, you know, I think the thing that draws people into the college game is the one and done, the genuine raw emotions. Cause like, yeah, the guy from Colorado who was pumping threes the entire year, I saw a string of memes of like getting beat by a potential enterprise rent car manager, or,
there you go,
you know, accountant, things like that, right? And you know there's that Cinderella story that can come through. And you're right, the Cal-led Kentucky teams, this one and done isn't necessarily working out for him in terms of winning. But then I question, is his goal really trying to win, or just trying to get guys to the draft, right? Because if you're getting, you know, drafted, and if you're potential high schooler, you may want to go there because of the track record, right?
Or is he a better recruiter than coach? Maybe he's not that good of a coach.
He's won some. Like, I mean, he does have a track record. So I don't know. But coming back to it, the sacrificing part, you see, like, for example, we'll take LeBron. Yeah, sure, he's not playing today. In his mind, he's probably looking at the standings. 2.5 games above the Warriors, were probably good for 9th. A game and a half below the Suns, probably not going to catch them. So I can take tonight off, not embarrass myself in front of the Bucks. And that's the wrong type of sacrifice. Versus you look at Anthony Edwards. He has the opportunity to say, okay, Cat's out. I'm just going to start scoring more, taking more shots. However, his assists are up. His playmaking has gone up. He's looked at the opportunity to say, okay, I could, you know, push myself, score more points, look better for, you know, MVP voting potentially, things like that. Or I can do what is good for the team and sacrifice that way. Right. And you see that in like all sorts of organizations. And you look at the, even when you look at church, there's lots of people who come to church, right, on a weekly basis. But there's, and in some places, they have the opportunity where they have a lot of people who want to volunteer. Some places you don't. And it tends to be in the smaller places where you have the same, let's call it core group that sacrifice to make sure that things are getting taken care of. And they don't do that to say, hey, hello, I'm a volunteer, look at me. They do that because they're trying to honor God, right? They come in early, you know, they make sure the place is clean, make sure things are set up. You know, they take care of, you know, people who are outgoing. They go and, you know, walk around and try and make people feel comfortable. And that's also a sacrifice because, you know, like, let's be honest. I'll be honest. Not every Sunday morning I want to come in there and be like, hey, everybody, well, I'm here at church. I want to do the sound, blah, blah. Sometimes I want to sleep in. I don't want to be there. But it's making that effort to say, hey, I'm sacrificing not just for myself, but for the quote unquote team so that we can worship God in a good way. And who knows, maybe that random person who walked in off the street who just saw, oh, CIPC, what's that all about? They get welcomed in and they feel like, oh, this is the opposite of what I felt in other churches. So it's that sacrifice that you see. It's interesting because you can sacrifice selfishly, which we don't really think about, or you can sacrifice for the greater good, which you talk about a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I think sacrifice is something that is, it can definitely be a selfish thing, you know? I'm going mm-hmm. to, well, I guess that's the way you look at it, but it can definitely be, whatever your intentions are, can be a selfish thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what's next?
Well, let's talk about sacrifice in this way. Like, how many guys actually want to win the professional leagues? Right? Everybody says they want to win. But for a lot of these guys, it's about how big of a bag they can get. And one easy example that I always think about is Dame in Portland. The guy made so much money and he had such a big percentage of that salary cap that they were hamstrung in what they could do to support him with the cast. Right? Whereas you look at Shohei and even Patrick Mahomes, like Ohtani has deferred most of his money. There's no way that the Dodgers could have gotten both those guys this year and then some without all that deferred money. They had to change the rules because no one else had ever thought about, oh, let's just think about my team and be contract
friendly.
Why
did he defer that money though, Joel?
Coach okay, Joel. Maybe it was for gambling. We don't know.
We don't know. It's
I'm going to say he did it for the right reasons. If it comes out otherwise, it comes out otherwise.
Peter it's Patrick definitely Mahomes, a championship mentality that you're talking about, 100%.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about, right? So, like, that's what, you know, when it comes to guys taking less money, I always look at their contracts and be like, okay, you took $2 million less. You've already made $100 million. And I know there's a multiple views from this. You can look from the views of the union of star players taking less money, right? But if I want to win, I already have banked $100 million. Does it personally matter? I mean, it could, but does it personally matter if you make $30 million versus $15 million in a year?
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but what are you judged on? And your legacy is judged on how many rings you have.
I think a good example of this is Boston Celtics right now. You look at Jaylen Brown, mm-hmm. right? He made that $305 million contract, whatever it was. And yeah. To me, if you're taking that money, I don't have a problem with you getting the bag, but if you're going to have to then elevate to the level of what it's worth, right? You see, Jokic is like one of the highest. I think he's making almost 60 million per year. He's the one that's actually elevating guys like Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., all these guys into the next level, right? He's raising them. I think his worth is there. Jaylen Brown is not doing that at all, right? Jaylen Brown is he's a good player, but he's not worth 300 plus million dollars, right? Like, I think that's a mistake in the contract, but just
You
shows
can't fault
the
him for taking it.
it's the championship mentality that you're talking about, right? His team is not going to be able to pay the rest of his players as much going forward, especially Tatum's coming up for the $300 million contract this year, so they'll play those two guys. Will they be able to keep on Porzingis? Will they be able to keep on the other guys? Absolutely not. Are these guys going to elevate the rest of the players? Which I don't think so.
No, and you can see that, like, yeah, the Celtics are, they're going to be amazing this year. But if they don't win this year, is their window closed? They have four amazing guys. Their bench
Five.
is,
I would say Derek White's
like, yeah.
good.
Derek White, yeah, he's, I think, one of those guys who's maximizing his potential.
Big time.
And yeah, and so maybe they go eight deep. After eight, you have no idea what you're getting, like zero. Right? You're gonna have to, second round picks, draft minimum on salaries, all that kind of stuff. This could be it for them. Right? Teams like the Bucks, the Cavs, the Magic, Pacers are probably in better cap positions to take advantage of. The 76ers will loom large next year with a lot of cap space. So building your cap and understanding, okay, who needs to sacrifice? How can we sacrifice? Are we all on the same page? Is huge. And that applies to what we're doing on the faith side of things too. Right? I'm sure you can come up with a few examples of characters, not characters, but people in the Bible who have sacrificed, for their faith. You think of all the apostles who got
Martyred.
murdered. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Martyred,
Martyred.
martyred, martyred.
Martyred, sorry.
Yeah.
Martyred for their faith, right? Like, I'm not gonna lie, I don't want to be crucified upside down. I don't have this. I don't. That's you know. That's that would be a tough ask, for anybody. But God asks us to sacrifice for a lot of things, and what is it? Store up your treasures in heaven, right?
I think that's what really walking in maturity in your faith looks like, right? Like, what are you able to, like last week we talked about surrender. What are you able to surrender? It's very similar in the sense of sacrifice, right? Are you able to sacrifice the things of this world for honor in heaven, right? Honor to God rather than honor here on earth and storing up your stuff here on earth, like you were saying, it's storing up your treasures in heaven. So when it comes
And
to contracts, it's exactly like that's not a winning attitude. And I think there's a winning attitude when it comes to your faith as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you shared that story about you and mom and dad arguing on Sunday morning basketball here, but I think that's a really good example of sacrificing for your faith, either you liked it or not, right? You did it. And I think if you look back, people can come up with lots of different stories about sacrificing. And often they don't see, or maybe they do, but at least, in my opinion, they don't really see how that ties to the next blessing that's come their way. Right? Like the next, the way somehow God worked and fixed a situation or gave a resolution or something. And maybe it was God's plan, but you were also obedient enough to follow through. You're also obedient enough to say, okay, this is my stance and I'm sticking to it. I'm going to let the rest lie in God's hands, right? So that sacrificial idea, when it comes to sports is, hey, I know that, personally for me, I was never the best shooter. Is it the best idea for me to be jacking up threes left, right, and center? No. I'm a great passer. Why not break it down to defense, pass the ball? And I'll give you a story. My last ever basketball game on for grade 12 was we were playing the fifth place game up in Flin Flon. And I scored a grand total of 3 points. And we crushed the team. Yeah, we crushed these guys. And I was just dropping dimes left, right, and center because like we were these guys were just so bad that we were playing against. It didn't make sense to just run up the score, right? And I ended up getting a like the some sort of like recognition for like the man of the match, we'll call it. And basically it's because I was all the only grade 12 on the floor. And I remember coming back to school and one of the teachers was like, "Hey, I saw you got the man of the match for this. But it said you only had 3 points. Did you actually have 30?" I was like, "Nah, I was just only had three because," and I explained to him, like, "There's no point in me destroying these guys when we're already up 30, 40. Like, yeah, it's my last game. I want to play all the minutes, but I'd rather just win." Right? So I think that and that mentality is what we want to bring to the Urban Hope basketball team is what are you doing to win, not only on the basketball court, but also in your life? You know, as students, are you studying? Are you putting the time in to make sure that your homework's done, that you're asking the right questions? Are you putting the time in to help your family, be a good leader in your community? Because, you know, most young men don't have that in their life, right? They see TikTok, either you're Andrew Tate or you're Dylan Mulvaney, right? There's such wide extremes of what men should be in masculinity. And yeah, you know, maybe I don't always agree with what Andrew Tate's saying, but when I look at the Bible, it's about being a leader, it's about being a resource, it's about being a rock. And that comes with practice, that comes with being patient, that comes with putting in the work when no one can see. Right? And just like basketball practice, you run those man makers, and by, you know, let's call it April when you're playing for your championships, you're sprinting and you're not tired in quarter number four because you've put that time and effort in all the way through. Same thing when you know you get a bad decision goes against you in maybe your workplace, maybe you don't get that promotion. Yeah, it hurts and it sucks, but you also know that my hope is built in God. God is my strength and my fortress. Because you've prayed and you've read your Bible and you're building up your faith, you don't go on to the next thing, right? You don't just say, "Oh, my identity is my workplace." So I think all these things like sacrifice, patience, putting in the work that we talk about in sports and that you're seeing on March Madness, you're seeing in the playoffs, you're seeing guys posting in on Instagram in the weight rooms, all that is so applicable to your faith and how you deal with people.
Yeah, I think when you look at like superstars like Jokic, I love looking at Jokic because he brings that humility and you see his off season where he's not showing his workouts or anything like that. I'm sure he's putting in work. They all said, "Oh yeah, he wasn't in the gym once this summer." I
Can't
totally
be.
disagree with that. I disagree with that, but he's not showing it off, right? He's showing it off in the court, but he's also showing that, you know, it's not about making my name big. It's about winning the game. It's about playing team basketball. You see, compare the Celtics and the Nuggets. You know, the last it was this week, the Nuggets, the Celtics dropped a 30-point loss to Atlanta, right? Atlanta without Trae Young,
Atlanta.
and it was a t one of the last possessions was Jaylen Brown taking 23 dribbles, and then taking a last like really rushed
It's
shot at the
disgusting.
end. When the Celtics lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers when they didn't have anyone playing and it was Dean Wade who went off on them. It was Jason Tatum taking a 19 dribble last possession with a fadeaway jumper. When the rest of the game, they're running their motions, running their system. You look at the Nuggets, that's what they constantly do. They don't veer away from it. And the system at the end of the game is pick and roll with Murray and
Jokic.
Jokic and maybe kick it out to to Porter for a three or find Aaron Gordon for that baseline dunk. That's what it is. And it's all run through Jokic, and they continually run it. It's that consistency. So I think there's something important about being consistent in the game plan, right? And I think that's the winning attitude that you need to take, and you can apply it to your faith walk as well. You got to be consistent in and not changing and not veering off the plan of how you want to approach your daily walk, right? Your daily walk as a man, your daily walk in how you consume content, the daily walk in how you treat people, all those things. I think it's very important to follow that. And that's the consistency, the playbook is the Bible, right? That's the difference with sports.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's great. That's a great place to end. Consistency, you know, we're the one thing that we know is God is consistent. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So great. I think that's great. What's happening at CITC this week?
Good Friday service, 6 p.m. Sunday morning, we have our Easter Sunday service followed by our community event, Easter egg hunt for all the kids, and just a great chance for connecting with our community. That's the whole weekend. That's what it's about, trying to let them know that there's something more out there than the Easter bunny for Easter weekend. And there's something, there's a greater story ahead that what Jesus did for you on the cross, that he loves you, wants to have a relationship with you.
Oh, that's awesome. Make sure you like us on Facebook, all the old heads out there, on X, on Instagram. Check out the website, check out Urban Hope. Most importantly, invite somebody to church this week. It's a great, great opportunity. Most places are, let's say, open, more, you know, talking, bringing more people in, and it's a great opportunity to bring somebody who may be on the fence, or maybe who has never heard the truth on how to be free. So free our likes, free the engagement, and help free some souls. Have a great week, guys. Talk to you later. Peace.
Peace.